Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 18th of February, recording at 5:23 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. That's earlier than usual, as was Wednesday's audio. This is a rich cultural week for me, and I'm off to see a favorite, Kenneth MacMillan's Menal at the Royal Ballet. So here's an abbreviated version of that big picture, long-term outlook for the various different asset classes, plus some comments on some of the very short-term activity. First, I remain very much of the view that Wall Street is likely to be in a secular bear market, long defined here as a generational-long process of PE ratio contraction and rising yields. Now, all secular bear markets will be punctuated by a number of impressive rallies and then some even bigger sell-offs. And the question for many investors is whether we're going to see a secular bear market, such as we saw for the US stock market from the late 1960s into the early 1980s, when effectively the Dow just traded for almost 2 decades beneath the 1025 level, had a few bungee jumps to the downside, or is it a more savage bear market, such as we saw in Japan from 1990 to the low on April of 2003 for the major indices, at any rate. Now, the key difference there is going to be liquidity. And we've seen plenty of liquidity this time around, and that certainly is what has helped to drive the nearly two years of rally that we've seen on Wall Street and for many other stock markets from those lows in March 2003. My feeling is that we are very much in the end game, as I've been saying over and over in these daily audios, but it isn't over yet. And therefore, I do not want to be abandoning ship. I want to be planning to do that, or I want to be very alert and watching very, very closely. But as long as markets remain in form, I wish to remain very much on the scene, because quite often the latter stages of some of the longer rallies are, or some of the bigger rallies, tend to be the most lucrative period of all, and we have seen that. But the ending signals are there and should not be ignored. And those include rising interest rates and, more recently, the weakness that we've seen in bonds. Most bond markets are soft in here again today. I think of the ones that I looked at, only Australia was an exception. I did a big feature on bond markets, or a feature on bond markets, yesterday. So we have that problem. We have the price of oil back at 48.10 as I speak. If that moves above 50, that will cause certainly some concerns. All that M&A activity, that's an ending signal, not something you would expect to see at the beginning of a run. And the very, very strong performance of the natural resource shares, that is something that we see late in stock market cycles. So all the ending signals are there, but is it going to be an ending of a few days duration, or a few weeks, or a few months? No one knows the answer to that, but what I can say as of today, it's there's no clear evidence that it has ended. It's just actually, I'll rephrase that. I'll say there's no evidence that the global stock market rally has ended, but we are seeing the late in the cycle ending themes occur. Now, if we're lucky, we get several more months of this ranging activity. Some of you will recall that I've been saying, really, since I got back from my summer holiday and looked at the bullish in au at the end of August and looked at the bullish upward dynamics that had occurred in mid-August, and started to project global stock markets higher following that correction that we had seen. Throughout the middle part of from the early part of 2004 into the early part of the third quarter, I had said that my best case scenario was that this stock market rally would carry well into the first quarter of this year. And it has certainly carried into the middle of the first quarter of this year. I'm not going to extend that time horizon at this stage. First, that's an arbitrary level. I'm just going to monitor it and do that on a daily basis for you and for myself. And I think that's the best I can do, really. Now, just to remain vigilant. Now, in terms of some of the shorter term action, here I have said that we are in a bit of a consolidation phase here overall, but where anything dramatic is occurring, it is tending to be on the upside. For instance, Brazil, a market that I've mentioned in the past as being the leader in South America, that mirrored Wall Street's correction in the first half of January, but roared back into new high grounds. Down today, but as I say, it was a big it's gone right back up to those old previous highs and through them. Now, Wall Street had the somewhat larger reaction yesterday, but the Dow and the S&P had rallied back up to their highs that they had seen at year end. So it's hardly surprising that we see some resistance at these levels. But at this stage, I'm not really looking for anything more than a consolidation. Now, Japan, which is my favorite developed country market for the long term, and I want to make sure that I don't know that I qualify that. I do want to qualify it, I'm saying. That doesn't mean that Japan is going to be the best performing market overall on a month-to-month basis. That is never going to happen for any market. But what it does mean is that, well, I feel that Japan, having been out of sync in terms of, well, during the secular bull market years that we saw in the 1990s for Wall Street, that Japan has completed its secular bear market is better value. I mean, witness the capitalization of the banking sector in Japan, which is very, very low relative to the capitalization of the banking sector, say, in the United States. And I don't have the exact statistics to hand, but there's a massive difference there. And some would say, yes, but the Japanese banks have been a basket case. Well, that was certainly the situation 2 years ago, but Japan has been addressing those problems and addressing them favorably. And did anybody really think that the world's second largest economy was going to see its banking sector go permanently to pot? Well, not this strategist. And I doubt you felt that way either. I feel that the restructuring of the loans in Japan, the improvement in the balance sheets that it's occurring for the Japanese banks, the increased loan demand that some of the lower, smaller rather, banks are now beginning to experience. Christopher Wood talks about that in his Greed and Fear report today. And that really represents what I think is probably the platform to enable the major stock market indices in Japan, that's the TOPIX and the Nikkei, to complete their Type 3 ranging time and size base formation developments. And I think if stock markets remain quite steady here for a few more months, we may well see the completion of those bases occur over the next few months as well. But I don't want to hold that out as excuse me, I don't want to hold that out as a major forecast. I'm just saying that the path of least resistance for Japan is on the upside, whether it completes the base formation development sooner or later. So I'm going to have an overall bias towards Japan more often than not among developed country stock markets. And I'm pleased to have a leveraged stock market futures position there in addition to some long-term investments in Japan. And having mentioned some concern after Wall Street's fall last night that I might be stopped out, or mentioned that I might have been stopped out of some of those positions. That has not happened, and Japan actually had a reasonably good day yesterday. We are seeing a bit of consolidation in the Tokyo second section index, but that's to be expected, and there have been no downward dynamics. So I may well add to my leveraged position in the Japanese Nikkei index. Now, my favorite markets for the long term are emerging markets. And really, I like them all because there are good stories surrounding all of them. And if you take a number of the Central and South American markets, so they have natural resources, the key variable there is governance, and thus it always was. But the demand for natural resources is going to be very high, and so that's made them extremely interesting. Then there are the Eastern European markets. Well, few of them have natural resources in quantity, but they've got the flat taxes, they have become democracies, and many of them, at any rate, certainly the ones that are that have entered the European Union, and they've got the competitive labor forces and just the overall national attitude. They've got a lot of the capitalist growth to catch up on, and they're going to do that very rapidly. So they're going to way outperform the major European economies such as Germany, France, Italy over the next many years. So I do like that sector very much. And most of all, I like the Asian emerging markets, and with India right at the top of my list of very long-term favorites. That's been the case for quite a while, as you know, or certainly since 2003, 2004 for me. Now, where I have to be careful though is that when Wall Street next experiences a serious correction, and I certainly expect to see a serious correction probably start this year, and I expect some trouble in 2006 as well. First 2 years of a new presidential term involve some correction of prior excesses during the election build-up. We usually see the problems, and if we just want one reason, look at the rising interest rates that we're getting in the U.S., which, as I've said over and over again, have killed off more bull market runs than any other factor that we've ever seen. Now, therefore, when Wall Street next sees a bungee jump, that will certainly create some significant fright in the emerging markets, if only because it's not that locals are going to lose confidence necessarily, or not in their economies, but you will have Europeans and North Americans pulling money out of those markets, nailing down profits, in other words. While they've still got them, and local selling accordingly, the emerging markets have always been high beta. So I would expect, as I say, sharp reactions, and that's what I'm concerned about, and I know many of you are concerned about. And I will try to lighten where I can do so at an attractive level. In other words, if I can do so early enough in a downturn, or anticipate a downturn. Otherwise, my alternative strategy, and I might well decide not to move completely out of my favorite emerging markets, just in case I've jumped the gun on a downturn, or overestimated the size of a downturn. I might just choose to hedge, albeit asymmetrically, by shorting futures in Western stock markets. Some of you may consider options, so on. So those are various alternatives that we'll discuss, or I will certainly discuss over the next few weeks, months, and years as necessary. Now, moving on from the stock markets, government bonds. Here we have definitely seen some deterioration over the last week and a half or so, and we've got the U.S. Treasury bonds down yet again today. I think the producer price, U.S. producer prices were higher than expected, and that knocked the market further. We've had Greenspan's warnings, repeated warnings, one could say. And as one who still has a short position in those U.S. treasuries, I'm rather glad to see this, but this raises another concern. If the slide in U.S. bond markets continues, that will certainly increase the headwind for global stock markets and bring forward, I think, the ending period for stock markets. Now, it's not impossible to get a late little additional blip in equities when you get some shifting of assets from government bonds to stock markets. That might well occur. That's been the case in the past quite often. On other times, the deterioration or the change in trends has been more or less coincidental. I'm hoping that's not the case, and I don't see any evidence yet that that is the case. And of course, it would be premature to say that a major slide in the bond cycle is underway. But given some of the bullish forecasts that we'd seen for bonds recently, after what was already a big rise and what I maintain is a type 3 top extension following the end of the secular bull market for government bonds in June of 2003, and then I look at the technical action that we've seen over the last fortnight, and I say this could well be another crack in the global government bond market. In other words, falling prices, rising yields, and that we do want to watch very carefully. Now, I said I was still short the U.S. Treasuries. I've also got a short position in the JGBs, much improved. And I'm lamenting my, well, I had the nerve to hold on to the short position in the U.S. 30-year Treasuries, but not the nerve to go on adding to the baby steps position overall. And that would have been a good tactic had I done so. But never mind. Now, again, moving on to currencies. We don't get the generational long trends that we will see in stock markets and in government bonds and in commodities. Now, when I say generational long trends, when I talk about these big secular trends, they're not linear, of course. They occur in waves. But that's what I feel we're seeing now. We've gone from a secular bull to a secular bear on Wall Street, and many other stock markets around the world follow in that path. It's just the emerging markets, when they get the shakeouts, they'll almost certainly see a higher lows. Wall Street, maybe not. Europe, maybe not. Now, currencies, though, don't get the runs of that same sort of generational long bull bear trends, or that's very, very rare. Certainly, it is on the upside, because no currency can, or no country can withstand a perpetually strong currency, particularly in this environment of globalization. That would be the case. Now, my take on the U.S. dollar is that this bearish phase is not over, but that we have seen most of it, and that we're not going to see any great collapse. What we are seeing now is some ranging on the U.S. dollar index. I put up plenty of charts of that, which you can find using the search facility. The dollar index is ranging between 80, where there's some historic support, down to 78. And 85, where the initial resistance comes into play. The most recent development has been to see the dollar index move back up to that 85 initial resistance level, back away, and it's backed away sufficiently. I've been saying over the last week or so that I think that's it. We have seen the rally, and we're heading back down to retest those lows. That's the main story in the currency markets. The other one is that the yen, which a lot of people had been talking up, is not doing very well right now. And I am not a long-term yen bull. There's no yield there, and that's very often a consideration. The Japanese don't want the yen to be appreciating very much, and they have a lot to say about it. And I don't think that the economy that, well, they would not, the Bank of Japan, Ministry of Finance, would not want to see a strong yen, particularly after the first quarter of last year, when they had had a very strong growth. And then I'm talking about their fiscal year, and then the subsequent three quarters have been technically indicated a slide back into recession. So they're not going to want a strong currency against that background, quite obviously. Also, they've had the deflationary pressures. They actually actively seek some inflation. So I'm, as I say, I'm not a yen bull. And a lot of people are focused on what's going to happen to the dollar yen exchange rate. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is a tale of two currencies, although overall the dollar is a bit weaker than the Japanese yen. My favorite currency is still the Australian dollar, and that's the one position that I have in here. Now, what happens if I'm right in the forecast that we have completed the dollar's technical rally and it goes back down to at least test support at the 80 level? That's on the US dollar index, of course. And that will be bullish for metals and all resources, really, but especially the metals. And gold continues to recover in line with this softer dollar trend. Currently at 427.25. I like gold at this price. Still, I had been saying that it was a buy in the 420 region. Okay, it got down to 410 in a bit, making it an even better buy, and it's bounced back, and I think the decline is over. I maintain that the decline is over. We'll see gold push back up to its high. I think that was at 456, and it'll push through that high up into the upper $400 level at least this year. And I maintain a fairly significant long position there. Silver will do even better because that's high beta gold, and I'm playing that through the silver futures. I don't have an aggressive position here. I'm also playing it through silver standard resources. I much prefer the metal actually to the silver companies overall. The industrial metals are doing extremely well. Now, how many reports have you seen? And I posted a few of them and then disagreed with them. People saying sell commodities, sell the metals. Well, I've seen quite a few of those. Well, they are just going gangbusters here today as I speak, and we haven't had the closing levels in here, but tin, that's one where I'm long. That's up $340 to 8,300. That's another significant breakout on the chart, and I'm just putting up my metals price. Lead, I've got the lead as well. That's up $61. That's a bigger move, 900 to 980. Both of these are in backwardation. All the metals are up strongly in here today. This is very, very good technical action. I saw someone interviewed this morning on a metals expert described, interviewed on, I think it was CNBC, while I was in my home gym this morning, saying that, well, this was just sort of hedge funds pushing these metals up and it wasn't an increase in demand. In other words, he'd been one of the ones issuing the bearish forecasts. And I don't doubt that hedge funds are in there playing this game, just as I'm in there playing this game. But all of these markets, except for zinc, and zinc's had the best gains of all, actually, because it had previously lagged, but all of them, except for zinc, have backwardations. In other words, the spot price is at a premium to the futures price. That reflects actual demand, consumer demand, not hedge fund demand, because the hedge funds aren't buying tin and copper and aluminium and lead. They're not buying this to stick into bank vaults or warehouses. They buy the futures just as I do. So this is extremely bullish action today in this volatile sector, and I'm very happy to remain long. And it's not by chance that these mining shares are going gangbusters in here, and I expect that to continue. Lastly, I mentioned the oil price. I do think it's not going to be long before we will see oil breaking up above the $50 level, and once again, that will not be good for stock markets, although they may ignore it for a while. But these are secular bull markets. All of these industrial commodities are in secular bull markets. The big ranging chart patterns that we've seen for much of last year and the beginning of this year, I believe, are continuation patterns. In other words, they will support additional gains this year. Now, lastly, and very briefly, agricultural commodities. I've described them previously as being dirt cheap on a number of occasions. That remains the case, and all they need is a catalyst to cause people to sit up and take notice. And we may have seen one for soybeans in that dry weather in the Brazilian in Brazil, in the soybean growing region, is causing some concern, and already analysts are beginning to downgrade yield expectations. Now, if that becomes a serious problem, of course, from very depressed levels, we could see an explosive advance. I've been saying these are baby steps plays, only pick them up on weakness. And I'm going to watch in here. I'm not going to chase this soybean move upwards. I do hold corn, but if you get a serious crop damage in soybeans, as say, obviously the price will go a lot higher. That will then have a knock-on effect. We will be entering the U.S. planting scene, season rather, for soybeans, corn, wheat, in the next few weeks. And farmers, if they saw a surging soybean price, would naturally opt to plant more soybeans. That might lead to a shortage as far as corn was concerned, and perhaps wheat. I have said all along that I do expect some major upside moves in a number of these agricultural commodities in 2005. Folks, have an absolutely splendid weekend.